recorded.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it. Stop. Right on.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
And good morning and happy Saturday, everybody. Welcome to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with Dr. Richard Danforth, the president of Jacksonville Urban League, and Jarman Leitner, the president of Harvest Intervention Services and First Thursday Jacksonville. We're pre-recording our show again and in dealing with the COVID-19 virus and the pandemic that's affecting the entire world right now, and but specifically in America, and right now we're talking about Jacksonville, Florida, and the rest of the United States, and how the pandemic is being shared, unfortunately, through unwilling folks. Good morning, Dr. Danforth. How are you doing today, and what's going on in Jacksonville?
Good morning, team.
Good morning.
It's somewhat of a cloudy day here in Jacksonville, but all is well. We're heeding all of the recommendations of the CDC, trying to follow our governor, trying to follow our mayor in terms of what's going on. And, of course, we get daily updates in regards to things that we should be doing. And as we move along, there are several things happening in Jacksonville that we certainly should speak to, particularly as it relates to the unemployment situation and the problems associated, you know, with folk getting unemployment checks. But we'll talk more about that. But otherwise, we're doing good.
Okay, Jarman, how you doing? What's going on in the healthcare industry and the telemedicines and things that are going on, as far as I know your business is in counseling and so forth and dealing with mental illnesses. So what's going on? Is there something that we need to be aware of, and how are folks basically coping with the pandemic?
Yes. Well, good morning, Jacksonville. Just thankful for another opportunity to share and to discuss, what's going on and some things that we need to be aware of, Larry. Just during this time, again, as Dr. Danforth mentioned, we're all here just practicing the social distancing, all of those physical recommendations that have been made, but this is definitely affecting people mentally and emotionally. We have seen an increase. Harvest Intervention Services, when I say we, have seen an increase in phone calls and in regards to the anxiety that people are feeling surrounding just the recommendations and all of the changes and the adjustments that are having to be made during this time. And it's normal for that to happen. Some people level off without additional support and intervention, but many people often do need that additional support. And Harvest Intervention Services, we're accepting new patients to provide that support for the community at this time. Sometimes you just need someone to kind of help walk you through some of the ways that you can adjust and adapt and things that you can implement. You know, children are at home, you know, Larry. So a lot of parents are trying to get used to teaching, you know, their child and juggling working from home. And, you know, I'm one of them, you know, even though I've homeschooled my kids before, you know that, but it's different now because I'm at a different place in my business as an entrepreneur. So it is still an adjustment for me, even though I've had prior experience in it, but it's great. It's wonderful. You know, we're getting there. We're staying positive. Again, heeding to those recommendations and making it work.
Well, that's good. And some of the things, again, that's, you know, that you talk about and Dr. Danforth is speaking about, you know, are things that, you know, will be our new normal. And let's get back to the talking about the numbers, John. And I know that we had discussed prior to the show the numbers that are increasing in the state of Florida and not only the positive testing, but also the folks that are dying. What do we have as far as the numbers are concerned?
Right now, there at least 12,000 people have tested positive in the state of Florida.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
And the governor is making some changes when it comes to the testing sites. So now he's going to bring in the Florida National Guard to take over Lot J, and they're going to increase, their plan is to increase the amount of tests that are actually given out per day. So
are these free tests?
Go ahead, Dr. Danford.
Well, I know listening this morning, apparently they're not free at Lot J, but let me say, since we're talking about testing, that University of, that is UF and UF Health, open a testing site at Emma Reed Community Center, which is located in the northwest area of Jacksonville.
Oh, good for them. That's great.
That is big news.
Yeah.
And so people are having the opportunity. They don't have to try to go downtown because, as you know, both testing sites were located downtown and pretty much where all of the city's resources are being directed pretty much is downtown, especially in terms of economic development. So this is a big deal. We actually need more sites, not only in the Northwest Quadrant, but there are other areas around Jacksonville where you have individuals that are unable to, may not have transportation to get to places downtown. So this is a good thing for the place over at Emmett Reed Community Center.
Yeah, well, that's great. And when we talk about the disproportionality of how this disease is affecting not only our economy, but other parts of our lives, it's interesting to see how this plays out. And as you said, Doc, that's nothing new when we see that most of the city's resources are directed towards downtown, and because that's the normal, you know. And prior to the pandemic, the resources were focused everywhere but in the northwest part of the city and areas of folks with low incomes and that are middle class. So it's a really mirroring of our everyday society of how we're dealing with the pandemic, but more importantly, how the disproportionality of various communities. And again, we're always, to me, it appears that we're always in a situation where communities of color and low income people are the severest hit on all sides, in the health part of it, the economics of it, we're almost stuck in a rut, so to speak, that we can't get out of.
And Larry, you said suffer on the healthcare side, including the counseling services. I mean, that's a challenge. The telemedicine and telehealth that's being utilized not only for medical visits, you know, with physicians, but also we're utilizing that platform. Harvest Intervention Services, we were utilizing that platform prior to COVID, but it is definitely essential now to continue those services. And we see in the low income communities where, you know, there is no participation or minimal participation, even when it comes to this transition with virtual learning and all school districts now, you know, this is the platform for it. But it's a challenge, you know, in those areas and in the areas for minorities.
So, Jama, what are, you know, with the new telemedicine and so forth, you said that we aren't seeing participation from communities of color. Is that what you said?
Yes, in low income areas. Yes, that is okay. A challenge that we're seeing just across certain school districts. I've spoken with several teachers, not just in the local areas, but just across the state. And parent participation isn't where it needs to be, and
okay,
some of
well,
it is
look,
a challenge. We can talk about it.
Let's take a break here,
and
we'll come back in the next session. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with Dr. Richard Danford and Jarman Leitner. We'll be back after this music break.
There's not one energy drink that'll make you feel this good.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Strength for the journey, always enough. When I am lonely, you're there. Everything I need, love all around me. You'll never leave me alone. When I'm ready to give, Lord, you won't let me go, you keep holding me. When I'm ready to give, Lord, you won't let me go, you keep holding me.
Hey,
stood at the end,
right where I was.
You came to find me.
Dependable God,
you've been a friend.
I can count on you, you
never deny me your
Let me go.
You won't let
And no matter what,
the new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. Been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Don't deserve it. Still, you give your.
we're back at the Empowerment Hour on another Saturday morning in Jacksonville and across the world as we are streaming. This is Larry Williams with Dr. Richard Danford of the Urban League and Jarman Leitner of Harvest Intervention Services. Jarman, before we went to the break, we were talking about telemedicine and what is going on. Is it affect this pandemic affecting communities of color and poor people more so receiving health care than it is the general population?
Well, yes. I mean, we're going to see that if there's no access to resources in those communities, as it is in communities that have more wealth and access to that. You have to have a lot of supporting materials. I just did a parent survey for my children's school, and I mean, we're blessed to be able to provide the schooling and have the resources. But just the list alone of the things that are needed that their teachers were asking each parent so that they could try to tailor some of the things that they ask us to do based on what each household has. And, you know, many of the households don't have what they need in order to, you know, provide that support. So you're talking about having to go out and get additional resources, pay for things just for your child to be able to participate. And that's one of the challenges, the virtual platform, parents having to, you know, log in and maintain that internet connection. And just be there with their child. And so, again, in the low-income and communities of color, it becomes a challenge.
Well, John, it is a challenge, especially when people perhaps may have been laid off and they're trying to work with the state in terms of some unemployment benefits.
Yes.
That is a major challenge here.
And so that's another barrier. Yes, that's another barrier.
And to the point, you know, everything is online. However, I understand that certain city council members have been taking paper applications for unemployment around to the various libraries and other places so people can fill out a paper form rather than accessing the technology for the unemployment office.
Yeah, that's a great point, too, because, you know, as Jarman pointed out and as I'm seeing more day to day in talking with folks in these areas that are disproportionately affected, the lack of access to the Internet is a big challenge. And folks were, I know in the Seattle area, they were trying to get computers to a lot of the students, and only to find that not only that they didn't have a computer, they didn't have access to the internet. They depended on going to the libraries or hotspots and so forth to connect to the internet, and for the most part, they use their phones, and so it's a challenge.
And then when you use your phone, I mean, you only have a certain amount of data. And then once you use the unlimited data, at some point it's going to start loading very slowly. Like everything is just going to slow down, and that's going to make it, you know, harder to fill out applications like the unemployment application online, which is already overwhelmed, you know, in the system of taking
and that's the thing that we talked about yesterday, Jarman and Doc, is that the actual ability to read, comprehend, and understand, you know, the information that's being put out about the virus, but also the ability to go online and fill out applications and respond to apply for unemployment and stimulus money, and all of these types of things that require some ability to comprehend, read, comprehend, and so forth. And a lot of our community folks aren't there yet. And even though many of us take technology for granted because we do it every day, it's still not something that everyone else does every day because they don't have access to it like we do. And I think sometimes we get to the point where we believe and we start being comfortable with ourselves and so forth. But we have to realize that there's a huge part of the population out here who aren't on the same level as most people are in the country. And again, that's an unlevel playing field that they have to deal with. Before we move on, I want to talk about one of the things that we can do and that the government is moving forward on is the stimulus payouts. And I know everyone has been interested in wanting to find out what's happening with the stimulus payouts. And the IRS has sent out their plan. They released it yesterday. And the plan is for 50 million Americans to receive the first stimulus payouts. And those with direct deposit information already on file with the IRS and Social Security Administration will get paid first.
Okay? So Larry, is that just anybody with the direct deposit information on file, or is it still broken down based
no,
on
it's not their broken. No, it's broken down. They're breaking it down. First of all, anyone that has, direct deposit, if that used it last year in 2018 to for their taxes or for 2019, they have identified that covers about 50 million Americans.
50 and, million people. Okay.
Yeah, 50 well, million will be the first wave.
The deposits will hit on next Wednesday.
Yeah, April 14th, they're expecting the your bank, your account should be, there should be an arrival in your bank account around April 14th, and it could be on or after April 14th. So that's good news.
Well, and that's good news.
Yes.
And the good news, you're saying April 14th, and of course the next day, April 15th, the taxes are due. And you've got to file unless you get an extension. But keep in mind, you don't have to pay if you owe until 3 months later, as I understand.
Okay, and we need to check that, Doc, because I've read hearing is that the entire April 15th has been pushed back to July 15th, so you don't have to file. For 90 days, you don't have to file on April 15th this year. You have until July 15th.
Correct. Well, that's what I understand.
Yeah, we'll have to verify that. I'm not going to take that chance.
Yes.
Yeah. Verify that. I can take it. I'm reading it now.
Okay.
I've read the same thing. I just, when you said that, I was going to say, I'm glad, Larry, you mentioned that because I read the same thing, Dr. Danford and our accountant even mentioned that it's...
Yes.
It's extended for everyone through July 15th. So you do not have to file by April 15th. July 15th is the deadline for 2020. And if you can't make it by July 15th, then you need an extension.
For 2019, John.
I mean, I'm sorry, for 2019. Yes, the tax year 2019. Yeah. So if you can't make that July 15th deadline, then you will need the extension.
Yeah. When will you get paid? You'll get everybody, like 90% of the folks will receive their payments, as they're saying right now, over the next, between now and the end of May.
Okay.
And I know that there was some other information out there that it would go into September, but the new information is that it, could be completed by May. The second wave of money will go out on the week of April 20th, and then the third and final round is be made by check. So those folks that receive their payments by check will be in the last people to receive their stimulus payment.
All right. Well, we're going to take another music break and we're going to come back and continue our conversation. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
long and hard. If you believe in something with all your heart, it shall come to pass. I see miracles. I see miracles. I see miracles happening for you. I see miracles. I see miracles. I see miracles happening for you. Something long and hard. If you believe in something with all your heart, it shall come to pass. I see miracles. I see miracles. I see miracles happening for you.
Ultimate Gospel Experience, the new Praise 107.9.
Great God, great God, oh, I.
Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with our co-host, Dr. Richard Danford of the Jacksonville Urban League, and German Leitner of Harvest Intervention Services, their mental health company that's probably seeing a lot of new business now during these this pandemic and folks not being able to get out and about. So, hey, guys, welcome back. And John, you were talking about some numbers and so forth that we need to be aware of, and we're going to go to Doc with some other information.
Yes. On one of our breaks, you know, the numbers keep updating when it comes to the number of cases that where people are tested positive for COVID-19. So we're not at about 12,000 in the state of Florida. We're at 17,500 as far as testing.
Wow.
Positive. And those numbers,
those are people that have been infected with the virus, John?
Well, it doesn't say infected. It says tested positive. So if those are correct positives, then yes, they are infected.
Yeah.
So,
well, I just wanted to make a parallel. Okay. So you said it's how many thousand that's tested positive?
17,500.
Okay, so, you know, in the state of Washington, I think we got the corona probably 3 weeks or so before Florida did, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And as of yesterday, Wednesday, we had confirmed 9,608 people that tested positive and 446 who have died. So that means that the state of Florida has almost double the number of cases that are existent in the state of Washington, and that's an interesting number. I mean, that's a lot of people over a short period of time.
Did those fly in from from New York? And other places where they, I understand, they're not flying in because we noticed that they have very few people flying in and out of the Jacksonville International Airport. But
right.
I guess they're driving, but I understand they've been checking not at the border. We know that they're checking at the border, but the line, the state line.
The state lines, yes. State the Georgia-Florida line and the Alabama.
Can we do a wall maybe to keep the folk out of the state? But what you're saying, they're already here.
They're already here, and that's the whole point, Dr. Danford, is that, you know, it's no way the virus was here all along. I think what I've read and seen is that most of the viruses in the state of Florida came from areas that are not necessarily areas that you would think of. And I'm saying that in regards to Louisiana, you know, folks coming in from New Orleans and Tennessee and other places that are near Florida, but the snowbirds and the folks that came down, for spring vacation, and the governor decided in his wisdom to leave the beaches open, for these periods of time while the virus was in its incubation stages, and people came out and they had a good time on the beaches, and guess what? Now we, have close to 20,000 people that have been infected, and I think we were talking off the air about the folks that are planning on going in person to attend Easter services. Please don't.
Please don't. I understand. Along those lines, Channel 4 will have a televised service on Sunday for Easter. But guys, I need some advice if I can switch here.
Well, wait a minute, Dr. Danford, before you switch, there are other virtual services also. I just wanted to mention that are taking place.
I know some other
local churches. I know our church, yes. The Potter's House, is doing it. Is your church doing it as well, Dr. Danford?
I leave most churches. Most churches are streaming.
are streaming virtually. So, you know, you can definitely stream a live virtual service as well, you know, on Easter. And these are just, you were mentioning the number of cases, Larry, about the in Seattle or in Washington, state of Washington versus Florida. Well, that's why, you know, they're looking at the data now. You know, they don't know until they continue to look at the data and look at each state and the interventions that were done or, you know, just how things were unfolding. And so that's where we see all these changes now. Publix are even making changes in the way that they're doing things. Chick-fil-A, you know, they don't swipe cards for you anymore. You have to swipe it on your own at Chick-fil-A. At Publix, they're wiping down the carts. You know, a lot of the restaurants are using their gloves. And so this may be the new normal after, you know, everything comes down. There are some things that still may be implemented. So we have to continue that, you know, remembering not to shake our hands now. I know that seems odd because in the business world, that's what we do. We shake hands, right? So now we have to be conscious of not even doing that.
That's one of the things that we need to make sure that happens is that we need to stop doing things where we're possibly sharing germs and so forth. But I want to have one more deal about the upcoming weekend. On Saturday, beginning at noon, guys, there's some friends of mine and on a national level have created a virtual international day of prayer, hope, and reflection. And this starts at noon on Saturday and goes up to broadcasting until midnight or Easter Sunday. And, you know, we pull together a lot of community business and faith leaders from all over the world for this International Day of Prayer. And folks that want to join in on the broadcast that's on Saturday, website is www.idoprayer.org, www.idoprayer.org. And we're going to have Bishop Blake Sr., we're going to have Bishop Sheard, Bishop Joseph Walker. We're going to have Evangelist Karen Clark Sheard. We're going to have Vashon Mitchell and a host of other folks from around the country and around the world who have comments, prayers, and songs of hope on this deal. The NNPA, the National Black Newspaper Publishers Association, Karen Carter Richards, who's the chair, and Dr. Benjamin Shavis, who's the present CEO, who will also be participating, and they've endorsed this event. So we're going to have a good crowd, hopefully. And this opportunity, again, folks are wondering about how they can do things. They can pray, and it doesn't cost you anything. And this is a virtual prayer. So idoprayer.org, idoprayer.org. Okay.
All right. And that's Saturday. This Saturday.
That's this Saturday at noon Eastern Standard Time. And I think we got to go to a break here.
Yes.
This is Praise 107.9 FM with the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with Dr. Richard Danford and Jarman Leitner.
The way to listen to Praise 107.9 on your smart speaker has changed. Simply ask it to play Praise 107.9.
Started playing Praise 107.9.
So, no need to touch anything and have to disinfect. Just ask your speaker and enjoy.
Every day when I wake up, I can see His mercies all around me. And in every circumstance, His plans for me is to succeed.
Yes, Lord.
welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with Dr. Richard Danford and Jarman Leichner. And we are talking everything COVID-19 virus here. And we've talked about some of the virtual prayer and reflections opportunities that's coming up this weekend. And people are excited because, today is Good Friday. Is that correct?
Yes, today is Good Friday. Happy Good Friday. Yes.
Yeah, happy yes. Good Friday, praise everybody. Lord. And I'm saying Friday, you know, we all...
Because we're pre-recording.
We're pre-recording, so happy Good Friday and happy Easter. We're looking forward to
weekend.
Easter. And mm-hmm. Yeah, Easter weekend is very special. And during the past, and as I read through materials and understanding, trying to get an understanding why folks... are clamoring, especially some of the church leaders and trying to get folks get this deal open up so we can go back to church on Easter Sunday, is because that's a lot of churches, that's when they have even more than double their normal participation. So I can understand that, but please don't put the money above the people's lives.
Yeah, so
you're talking about physical participation,
yeah,
financial participation.
Well, I guess I'm talking about the physical participation that produces financial investment in at most churches. And again, you know, we take for granted technology, that everyone has access to a phone or a bank account that they can move funds around. Everyone doesn't have that capability. So oftentimes if people aren't in the pews, they're not making their, I got the dog here that wants to get out. But they're
hey,
not,
this
they're
is,
not
this
making,
is the new normal.
There you go. There you go.
It's not the only dog. It's not the only dog trying to get out.
But anyways, that's what is happening, and people are trying to get folks back into the pew. We'll have time for that, and in the meantime, we need to again take advantage of the technology that's out there, and most churches are streaming their services Sunday.
Yes.
So you can't go there. Take a virtual service and I think Dr. Danford mentioned one of the local television stations is having a program on Sunday as well. So, you know, we encourage you to support and participate in any and all of these opportunities as God leads you. But in the meantime, just stay safe and stay prayed up.
Right, and celebrate at home. You know, this to celebrate. Resurrection weekend. This is a time to reflect. Resurrection Sunday will be this Sunday. To reflect and celebrate on what Christ has done, which is giving up His life. You know, He died, but He rose again. You know, for our sins, for our benefit. So, you know, we use this season, we use this time to reflect, Christ should always be in the forefront of our mind and in our day-to-day. And like you said, Larry, we need to stay prayed up, praying together and praying for one another. So,
absolutely.
Dr. Danford, you wanted to say something, Doc.
Yeah, I was struggling. I'm struggling, Jarman and Larry, because, you know, we talked about having to be symptomatic with this virus, and
yes,
it occurred to me that I visited Vietnam for my 50th anniversary just a few months ago, and then I find out that the Navy aircraft carrier stopped in Vietnam, and for 2 weeks prior to them realizing that some of the Navy guys had the virus, so. You
right.
know, I don't know if they contracted over in Vietnam, but maybe it would be a good reason for me to be tested, certainly for me personally and for my family. But right
but
now,
until,